What's up, guys? Welcome to the Still Loading Podcast. Now we know you guys are like us. You had a busy day. So let's discuss a few topics enlightened men discuss. We're going to talk through things like careers, technology, science, relationships, yes, and some sports. Our pod is for entertainment purposes only, so take what we say with a grain of salt and maybe a shot of tequila. So grab your favorite wine, bourbon, beer, and chill out with the guys. So who are we? I'm Kane. I've been in the business consulting space for almost 20 years now. It's hard to believe I'm that old. But I actually met my good brother here many years ago. We actually worked together on the scene of a financial company for quite a while, and we got a chance to build a relationship. We actually became really good buddies. And in fact, we call each other when we need advice, when we just want to joke around about certain things, or, we just want to shoot the crap. So I'm actually happy to say I'm with my good brother now. We've been talking about doing this for quite some time, and I'm glad I'm able to do it with you, man. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Ace. And just as Kane said, we've been friends for quite some time. We met each other at work, spent a lot of time outside of work, just talking about life, talking about relationships, talking about whatever's happening in our world. And as you mentioned, we've been talking about doing a podcast for quite some time. So I'm glad that we're able to, get this started. Like 2 years. We've been talking about this,
Yeah, man. 2 years.
man. 2 years, and working in the tech industry, my background stems all the way into fashion. Working there for about 5 years, going on to different backgrounds since then, and leading up to tech. Which, by the way, when I got there, man, I did not know what the heck I was doing. But you definitely got me out of that funk and helped me with a lot of things that I would have never known, if it was for someone else. So I appreciate that.
Appreciate that, brother. Listen, man, we all here to help each other grow, man. So that's all what it's all about. And we thank you guys for joining us. I'm sure you're probably like another podcast. In fact, that was one of the names that we talked about when we were starting up a podcast. It was going to be not another podcast, right? Because we realized that there's so many of them out there, and our goal was we're not trying to be like everyone else. Of course, there are so many, so it's kind of hard to tell the difference sometimes, but our goal with this is to really make sure that when we speak to you guys, we want you all to be a part of our journey. The reason why we named it Still Loading is because we're still figuring things out as we go. This is a human experience for us. This is my first time doing something like this. And so I think for us, it's just one of those things where we just want everyone to join along with us, but we also want to provide some value in this. So we're all looking to learn something new and keep it fun at the same time.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I am no stranger to talking to a crowd, virtually. I was playing games, streaming and all that, and it was a lot of fun. And I mean, seeing people live, having them chat with you, having to entertain them, while playing games, and asking questions, answering the questions, as well as doing all the things. So this is a new step, an entertainment for me, and I'm kind of excited about it. So,
Dope.
when it comes to what we're doing, man, I have to say, this is like this is really fun. I cannot contain my excitement. I'm kind of walking around as I'm talking here, because I just I don't know. It's 2 years, man. 2 years. It's been a while.
Bro, it's long overdue, man. I know we've been talking about this thing for so long. And I'm glad we just finally buckled down. You've convinced me to really get this thing going. So let's knock it out, man. Let's see how this thing goes. And I think that kind of brings us to our first segment, which is, we kind of talked through different events, as we mentioned before. We'll talk through, just what's happening in the world. Some politics, of course, will be a part of that. Entertainment, what's happening in the social media space, and just regular funny stuff, man. And then we also have a segment called Something That I Didn't Know Yesterday. So, one of the reasons why we felt this was good was because, one, it keeps us informed, but it also helps us to bring that knowledge to you guys too. So, I hope you all find this informational and informative and fun. All right. So we'll kind of kick it off with what's happening with Tesla and Elon Musk. His effect on the stock price has been completely detrimental. You know, after, you know, the election happened, because he was a part of Trump's election win, and everybody associated him with Trump, rightly so, the stock has flown through the roof. It went up a great percentage right after the election. It went from about $215 all the way up to $488. And since he has really been on this completely self-destructive run, it's gone from $488 down to $251. So it pretty much almost erased all the gains that people made in their investment in the stock since the election. So that's absolutely, just, you know, it's crazy. Like when you think about it, you know, his actions, you know, to the point where the shareholders and, you know, of the company are now saying, okay, what are you actually doing for Tesla? Like, you know, you know, like he's gotten to a point now where they're like, okay, we're paying you, you know, you're on the board, you're the CEO, you represent the company. And like Germany, their sales of Teslas have literally dropped 72% since he's been in his tear lately, you know?
That's what I saw too, man. Like Europe sales, 45%, all of Europe, 45% down. Volkswagen, crazy. Toyota, killing the game ever since then. It is absolutely insane. I think the overall stock since 2025 is what, like a 35%? And what's even crazier than that is that ever since he had his political stance and, you know, showing what, you know, what he's about and who he's backing, it's crazy how much vandalism's happening right now with all of the Tesla.
You know what's crazy is I remember years ago, I was a huge proponent of Tesla, like back in 2016. You told me this. You know, like I had bought so much stock in the company. You know, I really was like, man, this is the future. You know, like this really is the next wave of where we're going. At one point, they were talking about, of course, self-driving cars. They were talking about, you know, the cars being actually able to drive themselves to service. I was like, wow. Like, if they can do this, like that's going to change the entire world. And so, you know, I bought into it, and honestly, I did see some really good returns, you know, because I think people bought into the idea of Elon Musk, right? It was this guy is able to make promises, and we hope that they come to fruition. And then here we are almost 10 years later, and the things that he's promised, like full self-driving cars, still have not come out yet. And I think that, you know, he's been very good at selling a dream and not letting that dream come to fruition, not bringing it to fruition, you know. Absolutely. I feel like, you know, he just has too much going on in his mind, and he's not getting really a lot done.
You know what's crazy about that is there's an actual movement. It's called Tesla Takedown. Have you heard of that?
No.
Yeah, so it's an organization that's pretty much trying to get the public to divest from Tesla, like in total, which is absolutely insane, and it's growing day by day. And I've seen things on, you know, Facebook, on Instagram. I've heard it on other podcasts and in the news that this group is trying their damnest to get everyone to divest and also kind of boycott, you know, what's happening right now.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I've been seeing like cars. I was on social media, I was on Instagram, and they were showing cars that have taken the Tesla insignias off the car and put Honda, they put Toyota.
That's insane when you think about that, right? It's like how far someone's willing to go after spending, you know, $100,000 on a Tesla truck to then put what, Honda or Toyota on it. Like you're devaluing your car, but also are they doing it to protect their cars from being vandalized?
Right. And that's the thing too. I think they want people to realize like we are self-aware. You know what I'm saying? Like, the people that are doing that, they're like, we know how people look at Tesla right now. We know how people look at Tesla owners right now, because I can't lie. Like I remember back in the day when I would see a Tesla, I'm like, man, that's a cool car. I want one, you know. Right. And it went from that to I can't stand to see them now, like, you know. And I got a chance to actually drive one. I rented one, you know, about a year ago. I had taken a road trip down to like North Carolina, and when I tell you that was one of the worst experiences I've ever had in my life, bro. I
What?
couldn't believe it. You know, I was excited. You know, I was like, oh, I'm getting a Tesla. So I'm driving down with a friend, and you know, the car, it was great on, you know, the road, but once you actually realize, okay, I have to stop just to make sure that I can get to my destination, like, so I have to charge the vehicle ever so often, it wound up adding literally 2 hours to my commute, to my travel
So would you
time.
say it's that's the biggest inconvenience of getting a Tesla?
Oh yeah, like honestly, any EV for the most part, but Tesla is just the fact that you spend more time charging the car than driving. You
And I
know?
know that Mustang has one that, I think their distance is even greater than that of Tesla's,
Yeah. Oh
if I'm
yeah.
not mistaken.
Oh, the Mach. Yeah, the Mach. Yeah, that's
Yeah,
a
and
really good
so,
car.
you know what's crazy? I think that because his views and his direction is elsewhere, Tesla is suffering it. Like, for example, he's, head of Dodge. What do you think about that? Or Doge?
Yeah,
It's
like I'll be real,
such a unique name.
Doge is, it's a sledgehammer when we really need a scalpel. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God.
I think like it's really proven that even though you have money, it doesn't mean you're smart. Like you think about the people that work for this company right now, they're all super young kids, barely 22, 23 years old. And you can tell he's just brought in like these cronies who worship him, and he's like, okay, just help me get inside and burrow our technology in these companies and, you know, try to sell this dream that they're saving us money, but in reality, we already are seeing that they're trying to use these cuts per se, like, you know, in quotes, I'm doing air quotes, to now give that money back to Elon and his companies to subcontract with them in some way. So
That's a thought.
basically, yeah, it's Doge is not here for the people. It's literally here to slash and burn. We already see some of the effects on the economy. We see unemployment ticking up. It's now like 4.2%. You
Oh
know,
my
it was at
God.
4.1. And mind you, during Biden's entire time in office, you know, we had consistently some of the lowest unemployment we've ever had. You know, it's amazing how in just a month to 3 months' time, we're talking about an economy crash. We're talking about a recession possibly. And so, you know, like the market correction has been crazy. It just seems that it will continue because you can't depend on what Trump is saying. He just talks so much BS, and he's literally one way today and 180 degrees in the other direction tomorrow. So
And
it's just becoming a point where we just can't trust him, you know?
you said it earlier, scalpel rather than the axe, right? Like they need to do that. And you've also hit it on the head when it comes to the cuts. There's a lot of spending cuts and a lot of oversight, but on top of all that, the layoffs, a lot of layoffs that has been happening. And not only that, but if you are not being laid off, you then have to prove that you shouldn't be laid off by showing them what you're doing on a week-to-week basis. This is what I'm doing week in and week out. These are my accomplishments. And you know what? If you do not go by that, you are then terminated and so long. That's exactly what happened at X. And
And you know what's
he
crazy? Yeah, I was gonna say, like, you know, I'm used to that type of environment where, you know, I have to provide a weekly status, you know, to my, you know, to the senior leadership of the organization to say, hey, here's what's going well, here's what's suffering, you know, here's what we were able to do. So I get some of that, and he's trying to handle government like a tech organization. And or, you know, as a modern day organization, a lot of times, unfortunately, government is much older, it's legacy. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of the things that, you know, they could say they accomplished, it's more so things that you can't really use the same standards and technology for, you know, or in a company that's like a fintech. It's not the same thing because, you know, these companies, like literally their summary is just, hey, I helped this many people today, or, you know, I helped this many people make sure that they've got their retirement benefits. Like that's just normal course of work for them, you know. So it's one of those things where you can just see they're trying to apply these standards to Doge, and it's not the same thing. For instance, you know, they talked about with Doge how they had all these people collecting Social Security who were over 150 years old. Did you hear about that? And these people, of course, are not over 150 years old. It's just the way the system called COBOL actually classifies people when there's a different type of technical classification for them. It doesn't mean that these people are alive or collecting benefits. It just means that's a way they classify different people in the database. And so, you know, they took this and said, aha, we found something. Look, check this out. And it turns out to be complete BS. And so that's my problem with Doge, too, is just the fact that you would think somebody like Elon would say, okay, give me the details. Like, don't give me these broad strokes, like, because I don't want to look stupid. You know, I don't want to get out here and say something that's not true and have people looking at me like, you know, just what is this guy talking about? There's one thing you learn in consulting, which is if one number is wrong, every number is wrong. You know,
okay. And to that point, think about this. They're saying that it's Trump's directive. Now, people are also arguing that that's not actually Trump's directive, that that's actually the directive of Elon. How would you argue that?
Right? You know, I think that is...
Well, so if you look at it, right, you said the scalpel versus axe, right? That's something that they said that Trump has directed towards Elon. I'm getting a lot of different messages, and something that I'm seeing over the internet that's actually more Elon's take than it is Trump's take.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny. I know we were talking earlier about the fact that what if Trump is now like a Manchurian candidate? You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
my God. Oh, my God, dude.
You know, like, literally, he's being manipulated in some way. Like, you know, we were joking around about Neuralink. And how, you know, Neuralink really is a chip that can be implanted in the brain, of course, one of Elon's companies. And, you know, it makes you wonder just, like, how much control does he have over Trump? Like, because the Trump of 4 or 5 years ago would have never allowed this. It would have never been Elon speaking in the majority of a, you know, a cabinet meeting on television. Never. That never would have been.
Mr. Center of Attention.
Right. Yep. And it's like, this is not the Trump that we've all seen before, you know? And so it's just really interesting how this is happening. And it does make you wonder, like, I know Trump is getting older. He seems a little more senile now. He's not as on point. And mind you, we're not saying Trump was hitting a high bar or standard of intelligence, but at least we could say, you know, four or 5 years ago, his sentences were a little bit more cogent, a little bit more, you know,
I mean, the man's smart enough to get a following, right? That he has. That's probably one of the biggest followings I've ever seen. And
yeah,
to get to that point, you have to have some type of wit to you. And, you know, hats off to him for that. But at the same time, you got to look at the repercussions of that. You know, how has that, you know, been facing, you know, the United States? How have people responded to that? Who's being affected by that and by his following? And there's so much that goes into play. But, you know, Going into this, right, like, he has done so much to degrade and to villainize the previous administration.
Yeah.
And now you have, you know, the Republicans being in charge of everything, pretty much. You know, like, they have taken presidency, they have taken the Hill, they have taken the Senate. You know, they're in control. So how do you see the next 4 years panning out?
Honestly, this past 2-3 months is any indication, not good, man. Like, I feel like so many of the programs that have been put in place to make sure that people have adequate housing. For instance, I just read an article, you know, talking about the state I live in, saying how their funding for fair housing enforcement is going to be cut, which means that people of various communities, because, you know, of course, the federal government provides grants for a lot of these services. I just read an article about Columbia University just losing out on a $400 million grant from the federal government from Trump. So it's going to create a lot of issues in education, in housing, basically in all the things that non-white men have to worry about. You know what I'm saying?
The struggle.
It's going to be a huge issue, and I feel like it's going to be eroded and degraded more and more as time goes along. I do hope that, you know, the Democrats can take back the House next year, because at least they provide some level of balance. I feel right now these Republicans are like, oh, let's give Trump his own day. You know, let's
completely tipped. Yes.
Yeah. It's like, what are we doing here? Like, this man is not a god. He's not a king. Like, he is a regular man. But you have some sycophants in government who just worship at the ground he walks on. He could care less about them.
And I've walked into a coffee shop, and this lady was talking to her friend, and she said that she just came out of church, and they were thanking God for Trump being president. They felt like Trump was sent by God to guide us. And I sat there looking at them, drinking their matcha coffee, wondering, where the hell are they getting this information? And what church are they going to? So I'm hearing this day in and day out, and this is not from them. I've heard it from plenty of other people as well, saying that God brought him, you know, to this earth to guide us, to, you know, shepherd us and bring us to, you know, new heights. And I hear this, and I've never heard this when, you know, Biden was in office, when Obama was in office, or Clinton, for anyone that matter,
right?
You know, that I've been alive and fully understood what was going on. I didn't understand, and I couldn't understand what goes through their mind when thinking about this. You know, bringing religion into to presidency. Blow my mind.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, because there's been a lot of talk now about Christian nationalism, right? And that has a lot to do with what we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of Christian nationalism kind of take over the space within this country right now. And basically what that means is just basically where they feel that God only cares about American values strictly for this country and all the crap that comes with it. And granted, listen, we live in this country. It provides great opportunity. It gives us a lot of things that we are able to strive for and gain, and that's awesome. But it's nowhere near perfect, right? There's a lot that needs to be done and shored up to make sure it can be its best self for us. And so I think, like, people with this idea that God sent Trump, it's more cult talk to me. I feel like the way these people think about him is just unreal to me. I had a conversation with one guy the other day, called him Daddy Trump. And I said, Trump, how old are you? And he said, doesn't matter how old I am. I'm 57 years old. And I said, why? You're a 50-year-old man calling another man daddy.
Yo.
And he was proud of it. I couldn't believe it. And I said, see, this is the problem, is that it's men like you who will denigrate yourself, you know what I mean, who won't stand up and say, no, okay, I'm a grown man. I'm not calling any other man daddy. That's not my father. I won't even call my father daddy. I'll call him dad. I say, hey, pop. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's that's not what we do. And so it's like any self-respecting man wouldn't do that stuff. And I feel like a lot of these men are emasculating themselves.
So, you know? I need to tell you something real quick. This is my own personal experience. I'm over, you know, at this bowling joint, and we're there, and me with a few friends, and, you know, they have their daughters, and it's all, I'm with a bunch of white people, right? I'm the only colored man, you know, inside there, and there's these group, two lanes down from us.
Man of color, right, yeah.
Yes. I mean, we can get into that, absolutely, right? But hear me out on this.
I got you.
They're wearing a shirt that's saying they messed with Trump being, you know, shot at his rally. It's on his shirt. And the other one saying Daddy Trump is back. Now, mind you, while I was hanging out, and I'm really close with this family, you know, the daughter, 10-year-old girl, white girl, you know, very sweet. She's giving me a hug after she hits, you know, a good strike. And they're giving me a look of disgust. And I'm thinking to myself, man, what did I do? And it was only when this little girl was giving me a hug after she hits her stripe. And mind you, her and I are very close.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt as if I was being, you know, looked at in a negative light because I'm a man of color.
Right. Yep.
With a bunch of my friends and their daughters, you know, obviously being very friendly to me. because her and I have a, you know, a really nice relationship. You know, we've known each other for 2 years, me and this family, and, you know, we've been in the thick of it. And it was just so unique, you know, and I see Eddie Trump on this guy's shirt. And mind you, he's probably like in his 40s. Mullet tattooed on his neck. That has a dollar sign. Like, I mean, I'm thinking to myself,
business in the front, party in the back.
Something like that, right? So you know, it's just crazy when you see these people that go around and talk about, you know, Daddy Trump and, you know, God brought him here on this earth for a reason. I mean, if you want to get down to it, you know, we can say that God brought everyone to this earth for a reason, right?
Right.
At the same time, you're not to get into the thick of it, but you know, you just got to think to yourself, like, how does it look?
Right. And my thing is, if God was going to send a representative, I'm sure he would pick a much better representative than this. Like, come on, guys. Like, seriously.
Like, come on, man.
This is the bottom of the barrel here. Come on. Like, right. You know, come on, man. But, you know, like, you know, I think that, you know, this just leads to the fact that when we think about education in this country, you know, it's actually, it really suffers. And we're starting to see a lot of the effects of a lack of education in this country. Like, there's some stats I was reading about just literacy in America. And it talked about the fact that 21% of people in this country barely read above an eighth grade level. And these are high school graduates. Are high school grads. And so it's like, you know, so many of us, you know, when we talk to people, we forget that a lot of these people are not smart. You know, when we see online activity, they're not educated. They don't take the time to read. And you can understand why a person who is running for president doesn't really care if people read. In fact, it's better for him because it's like, I can say anything to you, you'll believe it because you're not going to go and do the research. You're just going to listen to what people in your community have to say, or, you know, what your best friend working at the barbershop or in the auto shop has to say. And it's like, there's no effort there to find the truth, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you talk about education, right? Like, think about penmanship as well. You know, it's been lacking really since like what, 2010. So, you know, we're not teaching our kids how to write in cursive. You know, I think that helps out a lot when it comes to understanding what it is that you're trying to get, you know, through to your thoughts, remembering things, you know, and such as writing an essay, right? How many times do you see, you know, someone writing you a note at work and they spell their wrong?
Oh my God, that is a huge piece of money. There, and there.
Yeah, I mean, like what is going on? I remember when I was, you know, I can say this, right? I remember when I was younger, and over the summer, my parents would have me, you know, read the encyclopedia, and I had to go in there. I had to read, not only read, but write down everything that's in there, and that has helped me out tremendously. You know, I've won spelling bees. You know, I've really looked at the things that I'm writing down and understanding where I'm going to go to next, right? It's like, what's the next step from what I'm writing to how I want to finish, right? And now you hear kids talking to you about this, that, and they're not knowing where the hell they're going. They just want to get all the information out without formatting it. And I think that's like a big issue as well.
Man, I remember still going to the library and having to do like book reports and use the Dewey Decimal System and bibliographies and, you know, the actual book, you know, and that's like, that's
PEMDAS. PEMDAS.
Yeah, PEMDAS. You know, like, you know, there is so much of this stuff that I feel honestly made, like, I feel like our generation was the last of the great generations, man. And I hate to say it like that, but like, this generation has the technology, they have all the tools to make things so easy, and it takes away from social skills. It takes away from having a certain level of grit. You know what I mean? Like, when you have to go out and do the work, you have to find the books, you got to bring them home, you got to skim through all of them to make sure you can get the information you need from each book. If it didn't have it, you have to take it back and get another one. You know, so it's just like, it's a whole different space that we're in now. Now we have tools, like ChatGPT, we have Google. Right. Like they make things a lot easier for people to just kind of get away with things. And don't get me wrong, AI is beautiful. Like I use it in certain capacities.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, you know, how much of it actually takes away from our brains working the way they should. Like you think about what school really is for. It's not necessary to learn the subjects that we're learning so that way we can use them in life. Because I used to always say that, why do I need to know geometry, right? Why do I need to know trigonometry? But what it's about, you know what I'm saying, is really understanding how your brain works and giving it the ability for higher level function, right? So it's not just what you're trying to solve on a piece of paper. It's now causing your brain to create new synapses and nerve endings to say, okay, I applied this thing this time. How can I apply it next time, you know?
It's like putting your hand on the stove, having your neurotransmitters tell you, hey, it's hot, take it off. And how quick do you respond to certain actions, right?
Exactly.
You sit there and hold your hand on there for about 5 seconds before you know what's happening? Or do you immediately respond by moving your hand when you feel a little bit of heat? So that is something that we need to look at in society. I think personally, I mean, this is just my own feeling, but I think that, you know, social media such as Instagram, TikTok, when it comes to things such as what's that other platform where you Snapchat. Snapchat's a big one too, man. Like, and not only that, but you see all these kids with electronic devices, and we can complain about it. Obviously, there's some like, you know, good effects from it where kids are learning faster. They're, you know, going into, you know, their games on their iPad and, you know, building out a freaking tower. And when you walk into it on their iPad, it's actually pretty phenomenal how they're able to, what's it, Roblox, how they're able to build all these different, infrastructures and talk about the dimensions and what's where. This is the bathroom, this is the kitchen. Like, there's a lot of great things that come from it. When you look at it, these kids, when you take away their device, they have a meltdown. They throw a fit. You cannot stop them until they get. It's crazy.
Right. Like, I'm an 80s baby, right? So for me, like, I remember when we had to actually go outside, right? We were on our bikes. We were playing with our friends. We were going, you know, riding around certain parts of town our parents probably didn't know about. You know what I mean? There was stuff that they had no clue we were doing. But, you know, that was how we learned at the time. That was how we, you know, learned how to deal with friends. And you know, we got scrapes and scratches and things like that. But we got up, we were fine. We came home, we had a good time, right? And I think kids now, they don't know what that's like. Yeah, they have the ability to, you know, link virtually with their friends, but that in-person interaction makes the difference. And that's why they're saying this generation, honestly, the younger generation, I believe is Gen Z, doesn't really have the soft skills, right? They it's hard for them to get and keep jobs because, yeah, they might know how to do something technically, but when it comes time to explain it, that's where they struggle, you know? And so it's becoming a real problem. It's becoming a real problem. But, you know, honestly, we're talking about entertainment. What's going on with Kai Cenat and Stephen A, man? What happened there?
Oh, my God. Apparently, Kai was just like, you know what? I don't want to talk about the GOAT status anymore. It's LeBron James. You know, you can say it's Michael Jordan. LeBron James has, was it 50,000 points in his career? Talking about all these things. And they were just going back and forth, man. And I absolutely love the beef. You got a young kid in his 20s. You got Stephen A., who's an old head, talking about all the things. I mean, he's a MJ lover through and through, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's apparent. But when it comes down to it, I mean, Kai and the younger generation, they love who they love. And you know what? You can say this, neither is right, neither is wrong. You know, in his era, in Stephen A's era, you got MJ, who was just one of the best. I mean, Pippen, if you look at a lot of his numbers, it's pretty much there, excluding the MVP, right?
Yeah.
But when it comes to his era, yeah, that was Michael Jordan. And now you go into this era and you can say, yeah, that's LeBron James. And mind you, we have technology these days that can prolong know, your stay in a sport, you know, you can repair your Achilles rip within months now, when it could have taken you a year plus.
You got cryo now,
You got cryo. You got I think LeBron James spends millions of dollars on his health.
Yeah,
to have him play at the level that he's at now, and he has the money to do that too. But not only that, he has support from everybody, including his wife. Which, by the way, if you're in sports and you have a family and you have a loving wife, sometimes it gets difficult, you know, to continue playing that sport because you want to transition into being that family man, that father, that husband. LeBron James has a good support system, and he's also doing his thing. I truly think that he is the best player to ever walk the earth. I mean, what's your take on that?
Oh, yeah, I'm with you on that. I feel like Stephen A. What's crazy about Stephen A. is a few years ago, he was Team LeBron. He was always talking about LeBron stats and, you know, how well he's doing. And for some reason, he's gone from that to becoming LeBron ain't Jordan. You know what I'm saying? And while that might be true, but, like, you know, we got to understand something about Jordan. First of all, Jordan was a great player, but Jordan had a team around him. You know what I'm saying? He had the best second man in the league around him. Like, you know, he had Pippen right there with him. Like, so to say, like, you know, oh, they're the same. No, LeBron literally makes every team better that he goes to. We saw what happened with Cleveland, right? Like, with Cleveland, the first season they got him, I think what they won, 12 games or something like that. He came in and immediately boosted up the number of games. Within 2 to 3 seasons, they were in the playoffs. Like, come on. Like, there's certain things that you just can't take away from a player of that caliber. You know, his assists were crazy, rebounds crazy. Like, he's doing stuff that a Jordan couldn't do. And yes, Jordan was a great player. Like, let's not get it twisted, right? But I think it's because he was the first to do a lot.
Yes.
That people can't see past that. They just see, oh, I just see Jordan. Like, he was the first person with a major sneaker deal, you know, that went crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think the fact that, honestly, sneakers alone has clouded a lot of people's minds because they associate Jordan and the sneakers with success, with, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Just winning, you know what I mean? I think that, hey, you know, good on him for knowing how to invest and play that game, but it's a lot more to it than just having one of the biggest sneakers in the world.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. And to speak on Stephen A. and Kaisen Nat, you know, I just came off the rock just like right away. Hey, you know what? I want to get this out of the water real quick and let it dry. Oh, LeBron James the best. Like, he didn't give any time, and that's like one of the things that I think should also be addressed. Is like, you know what, if you have something that you want to say, you just say it. That's what he did. He went out and said it, and then Stephen A. started to criticize him as being, you know, a young kid not knowing things, you know, not knowing, you know, what MJ was about back in the day. I feel like, again, there has to be this level of understanding that, you know what, back in the day, yes, this was the you know, epitome of greatness. And now this is the epitome of greatness.
Right. What does greatness look like now? Exactly.
I mean, LeBron James has a lifetime Nike deal. You know, his son, Bronny James, is in the league, and he's doing, you know, not so great, right? And that led to Stephen A. Smith popping off.
Right. But to be honest, you know, like, the fact that he's able to get his son on the same team with him and play with his son, like, that in itself is a huge
greatness.
Like, yeah, greatness. You know what I mean? Like, imagine being able to say, I played ball in the league with my father. Like, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying?
That right there is amazing. I mean, you got some of the greats, you know, having their children in the league right now that played against LeBron when he first came on, right? Now their children's playing against them.
Kids, right?
And I'm just like, that's just phenomenal. I mean, you got Scottie Pippen, son is in there too. I mean, he's doing his thing over at the Grizzlies. I mean, you got so many people, and I think that it's just phenomenal.
Harry Payton, you know, Jr.
Not to trash on Michael Jordan, but his son ain't doing that great, man.
Right. Man, what is he? He's doing lines with watermelon,
he's doing something. I don't know, but this guy is being. There was a video actually that he got pulled over by a cop, and he was like, you know, I'm Michael Jordan's son.
Right. And it's like, you know, it's how nice. Embarrassing is that, man? Like, you know, you're known around the world. Like, everybody knows who you are, but your son can't eat that nose candy alone, man. He can't eat it.
Nope. Going back to, real quick, going back to LeBron and Bronny, did you see that that clip with LeBron talking to Stephen A?
No, I didn't see that.
So LeBron approached Stephen A. Smith, you know, just before the game, and was telling him, you know, pretty much, stop talking about my son. You know, he came up to him as a father, not as a player.
Right.
You know,
right.
This is from what Stephen told everybody else. You know, LeBron came up to me as a father, not a player, regarding me talking about his son. Now, I mean, if you're a player and you have your son in the league, and you have someone like Stephen A. Smith talking about your son, how would you respond?
Right.
Right? Like, you would go up and do the same thing. So people are criticizing LeBron, you know, about that. But also, there you got some praise as well, saying, you know what, father first, player second. Right. I mean, what's your take on that?
That's exactly my take. Like, shut the hell up about my kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. Yeah, like, I'm in the league still. I'm a player. But like you said, father first, man. Like, leave my kids alone. Like, there's one thing to talk about, you know, how they're playing. Yes, give them some criticism, but don't, you know, be on their back 24/7. Like, the kid is young. You know, he is a young kid. He's learning the league. You know, it's going to take some time to get adjusted. I think people just want anything to be able to clown on or be able to say negatively about LeBron James and his legacy. And it's like, leave them alone. I mean, this guy has literally lived a squeaky clean life. He's doing amazing things in the community. Like, he's a very big advocate for, you know, black players and just black people in general. Like, he's just done so much for the community. And it's like, look, this is my family here. Treat them with some respect. Like, I don't care if they're in the league or not. You're going to treat them right. You can't talk crazy about my son.
Absolutely. The only thing that his son needs to do is just make sure that he's not dating any crazy woman.
Yeah, exactly. Like, come on. Right. You saw Anthony Edwards and you know, the woman he's had the kid with, and everybody's like, why would you have a kid with Anthony Edwards? You know this guy is not going to, you know, be around. But, you know, some women are just in it for the come up. You know what I'm saying? They're just there to, you know, hey, I know you're about to get a huge contract. You're about to... And so why would I not tie myself to you for the next 18, 21, 23 years? You know what I'm saying? So
that's just crazy to me, right? Yeah. Because there's so much happening in the world right now when it comes to, you know, relationships and where that's taking certain people. I mean, there was this UFC fighter. I keep forgetting his name, but apparently
Adesanya, right? Yeah.
Yes, there we go. Yeah. Apparently he... you know, had this settlement with his ex-girlfriend, who, by the way, never married, never had kids, was only with her for a year, and she wanted half of his earnings. But all of his earnings was under his mother's name, so she had to pay him in $500,000. Crazy.
She had to pay him $500,000. Wow.
Oh, absolutely. The judge ordered her. Yep. That's
not something you hear often, man. Like you said, I think there was that Egyptian player that did that, I believe, right? A couple years back.
Yes, I think he was married. I don't know if he had any kids, but he was married. Yep.
Right, and so I know with that, it was he put everything in his mom's name, and when it came time to divorce, it was just you leave what you came with, basically. And I could respect that. You know, he did what he needed to do. Now, of course, you know, especially when you're only with someone for a short span of time, like, you weren't what we shoot in the gym. You know what I mean? What they said about, like, you know, like with Kobe and his wife or whatever, like, it's just certain things, you know, where it's like, look, you weren't out there in the field. You weren't out there working 10, 12 hours a day, sometimes 18 hours out there practicing and, you know, just really putting your blood, sweat, and tears into the game. You know, you're sitting at home. You're getting everything delivered to you. You got maids in the house, and you want half? What did you do? You know, and so I understand that, you know, and my thing is, yes, give a woman her just due. Like, give a woman what she deserves for keeping the family running, for keeping things moving smoothly. Yes, give her her respect. Give her her due. But, you know, for someone to demand half, like, you have to be self-aware enough to say, okay, I don't deserve half. Like, do I deserve something? Absolutely. But
I half mean, is, dude, is a stretch. When you're just a girlfriend, you gotta, like, put on the brakes there. Not married, no kids, only a year. I mean, a year is a lot for some people, but come on. And for that soccer player, I found the name Hakimi. He is an Iraqi soccer player. And apparently his mom is a rock star. She is looked at. Really? Yeah, I mean, just in the world, when you think about moms, I think, for the record, all moms should be rock stars. I think that that's just a given. Hardest job in the world. Hardest job that doesn't get paid, right? Like, I think there should be some type of government stipend for that, but that's neither here or there. I think that when it comes to that, man, like, you have to give, right? To give and take. Like, what do they put in? What did you put in? You know, what did you put out? What do they put out? When it comes down to it, I mean, it's consensual, right? Like, you're together because you're together. You're not together because, you know, I owe you this or you owe me that. It's a give and take, right? Of equivalent, you know, of equivalent things, like, you know, love, time, patience, you know, everything. So
yeah, that's what they say. Yeah, that's what they say. Like, you know, the man is the head, but the woman is the neck, you know, like when it comes to, you know, the household, like, you can't get things done without a woman, you know, that is a great partner and wants to make sure that you are taken care of, make sure that kids are taken care of and loved and nurtured. Like, yes, it's, you know, as we go through society, that role is changing for men. It's not just about providing for men anymore. That used to be the case back in the 50s and the 60s, but now it's, you know, typically both people are working. You know what I mean? It's one of situations where, you know, both parents need to generate income. But, you know, when you get home, you know, who does what? You know, and I'm a big proponent of, hey, if I'm home before you, I'll cook. I'll clean. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll make sure that, you know, certain things are done. I'll even run your bath, you know, depending on, you
know what I mean? Don't get me started, you know, with the bath. I love that.
Man, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what you got to do for your woman. Like, just show them that, you know, I care about you. I appreciate you. And showing them that their well-being and their mental health is important to you. So, you know, it's very important that it's not just about the man. You know, it's not just about him working and doing this stuff, but it's about how you guys are partners together in this thing.
You know? Stack up from that, right? Now let's go into dating. Yeah. I mean, like, how do they get there, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're thinking the same thing, right?
It's like, yep.
This dating world that we're in right now. How?
Man, you know, I keep hearing this term, the dating pool has pee in it.
I mean, I'm not arguing against that. I think that, yeah, the dating, it sucks. I mean, in this world, it's always, what do you have to offer me? And this is going from both sides. What do you have to offer me? And they're always looking at the short term. I mean, it's short term, you know, responses. I want to know, how are you going to make me feel good? Because I want to feel good immediately. I want to be, you know, looking at this 3 months, 4 months down the road. I want instant gratification on this meeting. Yeah. And it's not a date. It's a meeting where you're agreeing to what you can do for each other and then executing on it.
Agree. And I think that a lot of it is the fact that finding people has become easier now. Right. Mm-hmm. You think about back in the 90s or, you know, 2000s, even, it wasn't as easy to just go out and find somebody. Like, you really had to know them. You had to meet them through another friend. Maybe you met them at a bar somewhere, work, whatever the case might be. But now the way it is technology has made it to where you can find 100 people to talk to. You can find 200 people to talk to. And I think that that has changed people's mindsets into thinking, okay, well, you're not doing what I need to say I'm happy, right? You're not giving me what I need. So I could just go find it to somebody else. And I think that that has taken away the desire for people to work at a relationship. And it's just made it where, hey, if you're not giving me what I want, see you. I'll go talk to somebody else. And A lot of times we don't even realize that the next person is complete trash. Like,
Oh my God.
they don't bring anything to the table. They're just pretty. They might, be funny to an extent, but at the end, are they really better for you? And I think that's the problem, is that we just skip from one to the next and not thinking about who's best for me,
Swipe left, swipe right. What looks better than the rest? It's like you're ordering off a menu. What's good, what's not good, right? And you might see something that's great. You're gonna swipe right. That could be a connection. You meet in person, and you're gonna find out that, your food is pretty cold. Like that's really what it is. And this online presence for dating has put a lot of people on this dating app fatigue, right? Because there's a lot of glamification and romance on the digital platforms when you think about it. So now you have different in-person platforms that would advertise dating in person. So I believe there's this one called like Only Social Club where they promote in person, face-to-face dating as opposed to like swiping online. You're gonna meet in person and see if it works out. If it doesn't, you leave, right? It's gonna take a little more effort, it's gonna take a little more time. It's gonna take you, yes, getting ready and putting on a little bit of makeup if you want, or hey, you know what? Fuck it. Go on to some sweats and a nice sweatshirt and see if they like you at your worst before they like you at your best. Because so often you put your best foot forward online. And I remember back in the day using, these apps and seeing people online and seeing them in person, the catfishing, what, people are willing to put up more than, I mean, trust me, I've been through many cases of catfishing and it really ruined my experiences. And not only
Never know
that,
what
but
you're going
I mean
get.
I've had some, I have some stories, bro. Like, don't get me started. I remember I've swiped for somebody and he put, 5'3" petite thing, a runner, met her in person and she wore a black dress and I'm not trying to make fun, but it looked like there was an umbrella, that was fluff up underneath. And it's it's things like that where I'm like, hey, yo.
And my thing is, like, why lie so drastically? Like, it's one thing to say, okay, you're 140, but you actually weigh 160. Okay, that's one thing.
Oh, yeah.
But to say you're athletic and you're like a size 2, and then you meet somebody there size 10, like, or a size 12, it's like, bro, come on, like, what are we doing
Yes.
here?
And you think that I'm gonna just walk away? No, no, no. I ended up buying. I was like, hey, you're different. Let's get a drink. It's exactly what I said. So we sat down and she was telling me the story how she is not loving herself. She doesn't feel like she's beautiful. So she had pictures of her when she was in college and and how she looked so fit, and after that stress got to her because of work and family, etc. And I looked at her and I said, honey, you're beautiful. Like, you have a beautiful face, you have a beautiful personality. I was like, there is someone who's gonna love you for who you are. I'm turned off by the idea of that I just got catfished, right? But I'm not one that's gonna stray away from a conversation to try to understand just because I don't know myself and I don't want to assume what's going on in this person's life and why they're doing it. So I'd rather just get it out of their mouth, right? And
That's admirable. Yeah, man.
yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah, a lot of my friends said the opposite. They're like, I would have left her. I'm like, listen, man, I could have done the same thing. But at the same time, it's like, I want to understand because, what is
What
going through
makes
your
someone
mind?
do this
Like,
exactly?
there's other people who would be more drastic, who would argue and probably
Absolutely.
call her names and all these other things. And I'm like, this person needs to find out, like, there is beauty in you. There is beauty that someone would definitely die for. You just gotta, like, be yourself. And that goes to what you said earlier, right, about technology going into play now. Yeah, do you want to talk on that? Because I'm pretty sure you had some experience with that, right?
I mean, you know what it is. I think it's just one of those things, because, like, even tools like Instagram, like, are places where people can meet. It's one of those things. Hey, I liked your post. Let me go reach out to you, or your story. You know what I'm saying? And it just creates this level of, where it's so easy now to meet people, and you really have to have a level of discipline. Like, you have to really be able to say, okay, does it make sense for me to talk to this person? even though it's easy to do. And look, I can't get on any high horse and say it's easy because I know it's not. But it's just one of those things where you have to force yourself to really be like, okay, is this worthwhile? Does it benefit? And yeah, you might meet some great people sometimes. Like, you know, so I've met some amazing people just, you know, on the humble. You know what I mean? And we're still good friends to this day. You know, we're still able to talk and have great conversation and find out how each other are in life. And I think that's an amazing thing. But, you know, like one of the things I've been reading about a lot is scammers lately. You know what I mean? You know, because of technology, you know, you have a lot of people scamming people. You know, of course, catfishing. I actually talked to one girl one time and she was saying that she met a guy actually in Africa and that's all he did. And mind you, he was like Nigerian or something like that. But all he did was have multiple accounts set up. And all they would do was catfish and scam people. So, and it would be all types of different accounts. It wouldn't just be women. It would be, you know, guys saying that they were a specific celebrity. Like, I'm sure you saw that story about the person saying they were Brad Pitt and they got the woman to donate money to them. She gave them, like, I think some crazy amount of money. And, you know, and she said, send me a picture. So he sent her a picture of Brad Pitt, like, doing something, like, in a specific place. But, like, it's like, how do you do that? Like, to me, like, what I'm more concerned about is the mind of these scammers. Like, they'll take people life savings without issue. Like, you know, and just say, oh, well, I ran it up. I got the bag. And no type of remorse. And mind you, these people are older sometimes. They'll be, like, older women. You know, older men, and that's literally their life savings now gone because they thought they were helping somebody.
Say this, there are many ways to get, you know, your information. I remember a friend of mine, this is probably 8 years ago. He was on, I think it was Tinder. He was on Tinder and he was doing the remote thing where you can swipe in different parts of the world. And so he was talking to someone from the Philippines and he was like, hey, let's go to WhatsApp. Now, if you don't know WhatsApp, your real number shows up on there.
Oh, yeah.
And they can do a reverse lookup. They can look up your name. They can look up where you work, because now your name is associated with a LinkedIn profile if you're a professional. They could look up your Facebook. They could look up your family's names, your family's addresses, your family's phone numbers. So they had some sexual talk back and forth, and then she asked for $1,000. And he was like, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. And she said, well, if you don't give me $1,000, I'm going to email your work at so-and-so and let them know that you're talking to an underage girl. And he's like, yep. He says, no. On your profile, it says that you're 29. So he goes to find her profile, already delete it.
Wow.
She said, or I can send a mail to your parents who live at this address, or to your sister who lives at this address, or I can just call him at this number if you don't send me $1,000. He ended up not sending $1,000, and an email was sent to his work with pictures of him and pictures of her, and he had a conversation with them. He got the authorities involved, and he could have gotten fired. They could have ruined his reputation and all that. So that leads me to believe that, you know what, people are very evil on these apps, and you know. Electronics, you know, they're good for many things, man. But when it comes to dating, I don't know. It scares me. It scares me. It really does. To get all that information from WhatsApp. So it's WhatsApp. It's all these, you know, third-party devices or apps, I should say, that you are associating your number to. It's super scary. Yeah, scammers are very real, man. They're gonna do all that to you, or they'll ask you to buy them flowers or buy them food or, you know, buy them drinks because it's their birthday. There's so many ways people get scammed, and it's very sad to get it to the point where now they're threatening you to, they give them money, or they'll expose you for being something that you're not, just for being human and having, sexual talks. That's human, right? When you're talking to someone and they're engaging as well, of course, you go back and forth. Little do you know, you're about to get hooked. So.
And the thing is, you don't know who you're speaking to on the other end. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yes.
you might think you're speaking to a woman. It turns out it's a,
Oh
you
my
know what I'm
God.
saying? A 50-year-old dude.
I'm throwing
Like, you just
hands.
never know.
I'm
That's
throwing
why. One of the
hands.
reasons. Oh, yeah, big facts. Like, somebody's getting knocked out.
No,
Like,
no, 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 no,
it's one of
no.
those things where it's just you can't trust it a lot of times, man. It's just like they say, the dating pool has a little bit of pee in it. You know what I mean? Like, and there's a baby diaper floating around somewhere.
Oh
And,
my.
you
Their baby diapers, they gross me out. Don't get me started. But pee in a pool, man,
yeah,
you best step away.
yeah,
I'm splashing it right in
it's
your
a little rough
face.
out there.
They're
Yeah,
not,
man,
nah, it's disgusting.
that's just it's so funny. Like, so I know you're on the West Coast, man. I know you've been out there for about 2 years now.
Yep.
It's hard to believe it's been that
Oh
long.
my God, yeah.
How's your experience been out there? Because I know you're a New York boy. Well, I know you're from the West initially, right?
Yep, from the West
And you moved
initially.
back out here.
Went out there for about, 13 years. Before that, I was in Italy, in Japan. Year and a half, almost 2 years total. But yeah, man, been back. It's been quite unique. I can't get used to it. Like, no one walks. It's like I don't trust people who don't walk. You know what I mean? Like, it's a weird thing. It's like, some people don't trust people who don't drink. I don't trust people who don't walk. If you don't like to walk, I don't know who you are, and I don't want to know who you are. I walk everywhere. And another thing that I realized here is that drivers don't respect walkers. They don't care about you. They will do all the things to make you feel like you're about to get hit. I
That's just like
remember,
New York.
oh, I mean, no, worse, worse. Hear me out on this, right?
Really?
I'm living in my previous apartment, and I'm coming back from work. I'm taking this little coaster, right? It's a makeshift train, and I'm getting off, and I'm at the stoplight. Mind you, there's no cars, and I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm gonna jaywalk. Jaywalking is legal now. It wasn't legal for like a long time. I think it just legalized like a year and a half, almost 2 years ago. But I was jaywalking, and this huge truck starts speeding and like tries to cut me off. And he sticks his head out and he's yelling at me, and he says, "It's not your turn to fucking walk." And he throws his, I'm assuming it's Coke. I tasted a little bit. He throws his Coke at me from this like big gulp, 7-Eleven.
Are you
And
serious, man?
I'm dead serious, and it's all over me. And I'm like, what the fuck? I could
Wow.
not comprehend. So
Bro.
he speeds off, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go and wash off calmly. I go into the lobby. The receptionist is there, and she's like, "Oh my God, are you okay?" I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. Go upstairs, take a shower, put my stuff in the wash. I need a drink. So I go to this bar that's right next door. Well, it's like, two businesses down. And lo and behold, I see that truck outside of this bar. And I'm thinking to myself, today must be my birthday. I walk
Was
in.
about to say, you're lucky.
I walk in, this guy's with his friends. So I asked the bartender, who, mind you, is from upstate New York. And he looks at me, he's like, "What do you need? A shot?" I'm like, I'll take two. So I'll take one shot for me. And I tap this guy. I'm like, "Hey, man, you want a shot?" He goes, "Oh, sure. What are we celebrating?" I was like, "Well, you almost hit me off the side of the road." And he puts his drink down. I said, No. You already cheers me. You better drink it." He drinks it. And I drink half of mine and pour the rest in his face. And I said, "Now, how do you like that?" I'm
Nice.
telling you, he looked like he was about to cry. He was scared. He wasn't confident. He wasn't confident when he was in his
Only because he
car.
was in the
Oh
truck.
my God, no, he was
Or
behind
if
all that
they
metal. Now he's looking at me
it's a
with
whole
fear,
different
and his
story.
Friends are looking at me like, holy shit, what's going to happen? And the bartender looks at me like, what's next? And he says, you know, do you need another drink? I'm like, no, I'm good. And he goes, it's on the house. And he, as I'm walking around, I heard him say, what'd you guys do to him?
Wow.
I'm walking out, I walk back home, and I feel so much better. And I'm telling you right now, that was the sweetest, most quickest revenge that I've ever gotten in my entire life. When it comes to
the karma in that, that's crazy, man. To get what you receive in that fast of an instant, that is crazy.
It was.
That is crazy, man.
It was a sign, bro. I could have punched him. I could have done many things to him. You know what I'm saying? But it's given him back a little bit what he's given me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the biggest difference.
And listen, you know what? That actually brings us to, like, the theme of this pod, which is still loading, right? Like, we're still trying to figure this thing out. You know, we know how it is to go through life and deal with stuff. And we know how we might have handled things in the past. We're trying to do things a little bit better now. So instead of, you know, knocking you out and taking your sneakers, might just pour a little drink on you, you know, call it a day.
It was a good drink too, man. It was a good drink. I wish I'd have drink it all now that I think about it.
You know, it's funny. I know we were talking about the difference between like Uber drivers too, right? Like, you know, like for instance, on the East Coast, like I know how it is over here. Like, you know, we were just saying how it's very easy to get in the car. Like me, I get in the car with my headphones on. Typically, I might ask the Uber driver how his day was or something like that, but that's typically it. Like from that point on, we keep it moving. I can't say I haven't had some really good conversations with some people, like, but for the most part, it's just they just want you to get from point A to point B. Like there is no talking. You get in the car, you say hello, and you go on your way.
You know.
So what's your experience been like with that out there?
Leave me the hell alone. Listen, that's all I want. Like, I just want to be in my zone. I don't want to talk to you. I have my quiet preferred. I have, you know, my setting for the temperature to be cool. And I cannot tell you about 90% of the time, it is not that. They talk to you. I can have my headset in. They'll still be talking to you. And they'll be looking back, looking in the rearview mirror, saying, did you get that? I'm not even joking. Now, I'm over at my buddy's house. You know, and he's a really cool cat. I'm leaving, get an Uber. It's this kid in the Tesla. And I say kid because here's my story. It was a 12 to 14 minute drive. And throughout this whole drive, he was just talking about his, I'm assuming, ex-girlfriend at that time. And he's going on about how, you know, he's upset because his girlfriend has taken her location off and he doesn't know where she's at, and you know how he doesn't really care for her and how he's very shook that she wants to kick him out of the house and how he'll be okay because he has all this money and he's going to work for his uncle in France, and how you know he just paid for her new tits and all these things. And then he goes off saying something like, you know, I'm struggling right now. And she knows this. I'm a little financially broken. You know, I pay for rent at the place. I don't know why she's going to kick me out. I mean, mind you, she did pay for the last 6 months of rent because I'm going through hard times. But, you know, I still am a part of this, you know, apartment. Even though my name's not on the list, you know, I still... Right. Yeah, he's saying all these things. I'm thinking to myself, who the hell is this guy? I mind you, I record the whole thing. I don't care. I had no shame. I recorded the whole thing. I'm like, this is not real. And he's listening to this techno pop as while he was talking about this. And mind you, it's raining. I'm afraid now because I'm like, if we get in an accident, because he keeps looking back, I'm dead. Like he's going. He's on a one way trip to, you know, I don't fucking know and I don't really care. But it is scaring me, and I'm thinking to myself, man, who is this cat? Why is he telling me his life story? And then he apologized, says, oh man, sorry that I'm telling you all this. I'm unloading a lot. I'm like, oh, you good, man. And I was gonna say, well, you know what? I'm gonna listen to my music. And then he goes off again saying, well, you know, it's just kind of crazy. Like, I don't need her. I can get any type of woman I want. You know, I'm this and I'm that. And I get this more often than you know. I've had so many other drivers, you know, talk to me and share their life story. Or if I'm wearing a Yankees jersey and this guy's wearing a Dodgers jersey, I get told how, you know, bad the series is going and the history behind the Dodgers and his history and why he's living in San Diego compared to LA because of hard time. I'm like, I don't care. So,
yo, speaking of which, aren't you coming to, you're doing a Subway Series this year, right?
Hell yes. Thank you, Lord. I want to see Soto get smacked. Let's go.
Nice.
Soto, man.
Listen, man, I have to make one of those games with you, man. We'll check out one of the games. So let's make sure we connect on that, man, because it's been a couple of years since I've been to a baseball game. I had a really good time when I went, but definitely got to do it again soon, man.
Yes, sir.
Yo, you know it's crazy. You know we're talking about this. You know we've actually gotten to the last segment of the first pod, which is something that I didn't know yesterday.
Yes.
So. Interestingly enough, you know, I've just been doing some reading over the past, you know, a few weeks or so. And one of the interesting things, now keep in mind the theme of this podcast is still loading, right? Mm-hmm. So check this out. You know what the origin of the word bug is? I'm sure you've heard, like, when they say, oh, I've got a bug in the system or something like that. Turns out that the actual term computer bug comes from an actual moth that was found causing a malfunction in the Harvard Mark II computer back in 1947.
That's crazy, right? That is awesome. That's better than mine, actually. That's better than mine.
I'm like, where in the world is this coming
the
from?
Bug.
You know what I'm
bug
saying? Like,
system. That is actually, yeah, yeah, that's actually remarkable. I love that. I did my own little one, too. And now I'm embarrassed to say it just because yours sounds much cooler. don't laugh at me. It's not funny. I was today years old.
No.
When I found out that the word Riz was originated by Kai Cenat. He was on one of his podcasts. I believe it was on Twitch stream. And he was using the word Riz. Him and his friends made it up and apparently it started to blow up from there. And
that's where it came from.
Riz originated from Kai Cenat and how it's used now wasn't the intention of how it was used when he first used it. Yeah. So that's kind of crazy, right? So
yeah,
but I like bug.
Young guy already creating
some. I'm gonna come up with something better next time. 1000%.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be a fun segment for me. I like stuff like this. Like, you know, I was today years old. Like, I think that's pretty cool. Like, just to find these new things. Like, and that's what I love is that you can literally learn something new every day, man. Like, we're never going to know everything there is to know. So, you know, I think that brings us, you know, to where we are. You know, we thank you all who came to listen to this pod for the first time
and
like really give us a shot. You know, a lot of you guys are, you know, you might know us in some way, or maybe you just heard about what we do here. And to be honest with you, man, like, we couldn't appreciate you guys more. Like, you know, we're still learning how to do this thing. Hopefully you got some enjoyment out of it.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah, I mean, I feel a lot looser now than I did when I first started, man. Let me tell you, I was like as stiff as a tree, man. Oh, I hope that came out right.
Listen, man, this is beautiful, man. And honestly, bro, I'm glad we decided to do this, man. I know we have talked about it for a long time, and I've stalled for a long time.
Yep.
So Tennessee. I'm glad we were able to just finally make it happen and get it done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, Tennessee. No, listen. That's a traumatic experience for me, man, because, yeah, we were supposed to go to Tennessee, guys, like, last year sometime, and I was coming back from a work trip, and I got sick, and I couldn't make it, and this guy had to stay home and be a good guy, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, I apologize to you again, man. Like, I felt so bad. I was like, dude, I'm getting old. Like, for me to have to stay home and I had to keep my foot elevated. I'm just like, dude, this is trash, man. Like, I'm supposed to be in Tennessee having some wings right now. Like, I'm supposed to be living it up with my cowboy hat on, and
I
I
mean,
couldn't do
for
it,
full
man.
transparency for
Couldn't.
everyone, he was getting a lap dance and her heel stuck his toe. So, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I'm
right,
kidding.
man.
Of course, it wasn't his toe.
Right. Yo, man, nah, this has been really good, man. Any things you wanted to leave us off with, man?
You know what, man? Honestly, still loading. Like, we're gonna continue doing this. We're gonna continue, bringing out different forms of entertainment, knowledge, just talking about random things, and it's gonna continue going every week. We've been talking about this for a while, and I'm just like overly excited that we got the first one done. And it only takes one for me to start, and I'm happy to be here. I'm happy that you're here, and this is the Canon Ace show, so loving it.
That's right, man. I'm looking forward to what this brings, man. We're gonna have some guests on from time to time, guests in tech, guests in business, guests in entertainment. So we're looking to bring these things to you guys, man, keep the conversations moving, like this is it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun.
Thank
Yeah.
you. Appreciate it, man.
Well, thank you guys. Yo, appreciate it, man. Thank you all again. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week.
All right.
Peace.
See ya.